Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Getting you ready for all of Sunday's betting action. This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number 2 of Sunday Bet Prep, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross, Will Hill coming at you. Looks like we're going back to Denver. That one has been put to bed. The Lakers get a nice, comfortable victory over the Nuggets. Still a couple seconds to go, but they're going to easily cover their numbers here. And this is going to be 3-1 going back to Denver. So, hey, LeBron, it's just basketball. Maybe it's just bad. Maybe just loosen it up a little bit, baby. And all of a sudden now the Lakers can exhale. They got one in the bag. It's 3-1 now, Denver. So we'll figure out if the Lakers have any fight in them when they go back to the Mile High City. But let's bring back to the program. Always love Kevin catching up with Tanner Kern, contributor for DraftKings and also for Forbes. Follow him on X at Tanner Kern _. Joins us now on the Progressive guest line. What do you make of that, Tanner? Very quickly, before we get to some of these other plays that I know you have out there in the NBA. Lakers, nice win. LeBron, hey, it's just basketball, man. Like, what do you make of where the state of the Lakers are? And is it really just a little bit of icing here? And now they're going to go back and Denver's going to have their cake and finish this off in a gentleman's sweep?
Yeah, as you guys were saying before we got on here, it's a waste of a plane flight back to Denver. It's definitely good to see the Lakers show up a little bit tonight. I mean, but they've been in positions to win games in this series throughout its entirety. They just haven't been able to finish. We've seen LeBron step up. We've seen AD step up. But the supporting cast really hasn't been there for the Lakers. But tonight, obviously, pretty much everyone came through. Austin Reaves had 21 points. D'Angelo Russell had 21 points. LeBron had 30. AD had 25. It was a really big team effort. And that's been key for the Lakers winning, not only in the series, obviously, again, their first one tonight, but throughout the entire season. It needs to be a team effort because you're seeing LeBron get up there in age. You're seeing AD can't carry the load. You need those secondary guys to step up, and they did tonight.
Tanner, a big part of the NBA is who can get the next unhappy superstar. And with some of these series unfolding in the NBA, Durant, Giannis, Embiid, what's going on with the Clippers, could you see a scenario where somebody gets an early exit and either a star wants out, a team wants to break it up? Do you see any of these first round series causing a ripple effect where one of these stars gets traded this summer?
You know, not right now. Currently, I think, you know, most teams are in okay shape. I think the Suns is really the biggest area where I'm like, that could happen. It's not easy to establish these super teams and put all these superstars together because, as you were saying, the NBA, it's a star-driven league and there's a lot of egos out there. But if I had to pick one, it would probably be the Suns looking at that series. Minnesota has looked really good in it, and Phoenix has just not looked the part so far, right? They've lost 3 straight. That could be a sweep there. So something to look at for the Phoenix Suns. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, I mean, they've looked really good. So that would be the one area. The Suns just haven't meshed as a team of superstars. But looking at the Boston Celtics tonight, that's a team that has, you know, they've done a really good job. Credit to Joe Mazzulla with all the superstars there. They've come together well. But if I had to pick one team of superstars that would potentially break up and the unhappiness would seep in, it would be the Phoenix Suns.
Let's talk about the Suns tomorrow, because they're going to try to stave off elimination at home against Minnesota. Minnesota's actually the favorite right now. Going to weigh a point and a half. That total right now about, what, 208, 209 and a half we're seeing out there market-wide, 210s up there as well. What do you make of what Phoenix has to do differently? Or is it too late in the flag, the white flag of surrender has already been waved?
Well, the Suns got to put a team effort together. I mean, as we've seen so far throughout this series, they've either played good offense or they've played good defense. They haven't really been able to put it together. They need a totally complete game. And the biggest issue that they've had is shutting down Anthony Edwards. I mean, he's been fantastic, coming off a 36-point game in the last one there. And then down low, you have Rudy Gobert, who we know is going to be a trouble for anybody. But I think the biggest thing for Phoenix is they got to get going. Shut down Anthony Edwards, easier said than done. But they got to get Rudy Gobert moving. If they can make him move a little bit and open up the paint, I think they're going to have their opportunities. Their wings also got to step up and be great and make shots from the perimeter, because, you know, what they've done in the series overall, they haven't hit 100 points in two games. They're coming off 109. But then they gave up 126. So they really got to put it together as a team. They haven't been able to do that. And I just don't think they're going to be able to. Whether it's a gentleman sweep or a total sweep, things are not looking good for the Phoenix Suns. So I would go with the Timberwolves tomorrow and lay the points.
I thought we were looking at a pretty good first round, a competitive first round. It has not unfolded that way. I think the one series that can maybe save us is if we get a classic Knicks Sixers seven gamer with that local rivalry, all the teams in the mix, the Garden. That's a pivotal game four tomorrow. The series sometimes turning game four. Sixers laying 4.5. Any feel for Knicks and Sixers in game four?
So I don't know if I would necessarily lay 4.5. I do expect the Sixers to win this game, though. And if I did have to pick a side here, it would be on the Sixers. This is a series that easily could go seven games, and it's one that I can see the Sixers coming back from that 2-0 deficit. Only 7% of teams in NBA history have come back from a 2-0 deficit. The Sixers have the makeup to do it, because Joel Embiid has just been fantastic, and he's battling right now. He's not 100%, but we've seen what he can do to this Knicks team when he gets going. In the last game, he was fantastic, 50 points, obviously. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but the Knicks don't really have the answer for him. Jalen Brunson stepped up and had 39 in the last game. That's something we didn't really see earlier in the series. Jalen Brunson has not been the player that's won games to the Knicks in this series. He needs to be great, but even if he is, Joel Embiid is a matchup nightmare for this Knicks team. He is the reason that the Sixers could come back and ultimately win this series. So if I had to pick a side, I'm laying the 4.5 here, but I do like the Sixers to find a way to win this game, and potentially they're a good bet to win this series overall, right around 2-1, potentially on some books right now. I'm seeing more plus 160, plus 170, because bettors do believe in the Sixers, and they could be one of those teams that, you know, rewrite NBA history and come back from that 2-0 deficit.
Do bettors believe in the LA Clippers? Because right now the odds makers have Dallas as 6-point favorites in a very pivotal game for tomorrow in Dallas. Kawhi looks like he's back to being day-to-day Kawhi again. And, you know, after game one, I think everybody thought, all right, wow, what a shocker. And then since putting Kawhi back in there, hasn't gone so well here. What do you make of the state of the Clippers here? And is Dallas just going to start to run away with this series?
I think they're going to run away with it. I think they could win it 4-1. I'm expecting 4-2, but 4-1 is not out of the question for Dallas, because when you look at the whole team of the Clippers, they have a lot of big names, but those big names aren't necessarily guys that I want right now. James Harden has been very good in the series overall, but he's a guy that's going to have that big game and then tends to disappear in the playoffs. We may get that here moving forward. Zubac, fantastic down low, right? But Dallas has done a good job defending him and giving him trouble. We've seen with Kawhi. Kawhi looks like he just isn't 100%. He doesn't look, I mean, you can't blame him. He missed a lot of games to end the season. And then Russell Westbrook obviously losing his cool in the last game. Like, this team of not necessarily stars, because they are a little older, but they don't look the part right now against Dallas. And when you look at the Mavericks, they have the two best players on the floor. They might not have the better overall team when you're looking at the names, but they have Luka and they have Kyrie, and those are two of the best clutch players in the NBA. And this team plays really good defense as well. They were not great overall, but since the All-Star break, they were one of the best defensive ratings in the NBA. So looking at Dallas right now, I think they can easily run away with this series. They're a better team. Luka and Kyrie are locked in, and that's dangerous for the Clippers.
Tanner, I think it was late September where out of nowhere, Dame Lillard gets traded to the Bucks, and the Bucks surpassed the Nuggets, the Celtics. They are the short shot to win the title. And if he told people then, hey, they're going to be in the first round, down 2-1 to Indiana, 9.5-point favorites in game four, you would have said, you know what? Something has gone terribly wrong, and it's not the idea. What are your thoughts here with the Bucks? Can they get off the mat? And what would you do here with the 9.5 in game four?
I probably would stay away from it, honestly. I think the series is pretty much over just because of what you're getting from the Bucks' health issues. I mean, if you got on the Pacers early before the playoffs started in the series, I mean, they were like plus 230, I believe, for the series price, which was wild. And then obviously it fell, and by the opening tip in game one, it was pick 'em here. But I would probably stay away. If I had to pick a side, I'm laying the 9.5 with the Pacers just because of the injury issues. I don't trust the Bucks. And the Pacers have shown the ability to be clutch in this series no matter who they're going against. Whether the Bucks are, you know, look good or not. So probably would lay the 9.5 of the Pacers, but ultimately stay away. I think there's a lot better betting options on the board tomorrow. You know, looking at the Mavericks, that's one of them. Looking at the 76ers, that's another.
Tanner, I want to ask a couple hockey questions here very quickly. In the Eastern Conference, there looks like, talk about no drama. Rangers up 3-0 on my boys in D.C. We got Carolina up 3-1 on the Islanders, although the Islanders staved off elimination. Lightning did the same thing today. They were down 3-0. They win 6-3. It's 3-1. Bruins look like they're going to keep the pain in the six for Toronto for another year. They're up 3-1. Out of all those big deficits, is there any team that you see capable betting-wise that could actually flip the script here before it's too late?
I don't want to say it because I am a Bruins fan. I'm a Bruins supporter here, but we saw last year with the Panthers, the Bruins did not close out that series. They have not been great in the playoffs overall. Jeremy Swayman looks fantastic in the net for Boston right now, but you just don't know what Jim Montgomery is going to do. I hope he sticks with Swayman when they go back to Boston, but this series is definitely not over yet. Toronto can steal one in Boston. They go back to Toronto, they pick up a win, and then obviously anything can happen in that final game. So that's the one that I would be looking at. However, overall, I think most teams that are up right now with the big leads are going to find a way to finish off.
And very quick, out west, any surprises, anything that's caught your eye here from a betting perspective?
Not right now. Everything's been pretty standard. I'm looking at the Oilers to finish off that series. They've been really good, and that's a team that I would jump on right now to win the cup because they can score, and while the defense isn't great, they find ways to put the puck in the net, and that's dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels like that's a little bit at least better defensively than what we saw in years past with Edmonton. Tanner, great stuff, man. We appreciate you joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Keep cashing tickets. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is.
Thanks,
everybody. Tanner Kern. Give him a follow on X as well, at Tanner Kern _. Okay, we got a lot to get to. Again, we have a lot of finals coming through, certainly in the NBA and the NHL. But I'm with you, Will. We're trying to find the drama out there. We're not trying to just manufacture it for the show. We're looking for some real drama. Maybe we'll get more with Philadelphia and the Knicks. We'll talk more about that when you come back with us right here on Sunday Bet Prep.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back, Sunday Bet Prep. Dave Ross, Will Hill. The Lakers are back. 119-108 victors tonight over Denver. Look, if I'm Nikola Jokic and Will Hill is in the press room, and this is in Will's Will Hill, VSiN, Sunday Bet Prep, and Nikola, what happened tonight against the Lakers? You know what I would say? It's just basketball, though. Like, it'd be a great troll job, right? If you just did that, if the Nuggets did the same thing that LeBron did after they fell down 0-3. I'm wondering, look, kudos to the Lakers. Cover all numbers tonight. You stave off elimination. I saw LeBron doing some, like, our house. Saw some of that. Good. LeBron, good. I'm not going to knock you. If that's what you got to do to get fired up, man, because it felt like the historical debates were being washed out if they got swept by the Nuggets. So they finally end that losing streak to the Nuggets. What was it? 10 in a row? Something like that? I mean, it wasn't pretty. Not if you're supposed to be the greatest player of all time. That just can't happen. I just wonder if Jokic is like, okay, cool. Come on back to Denver. We'll see you in a couple nights, and then we'll send you packing for real. Is there any doubt in your mind, if you're a Nuggets backer, that, oh, man, we woke up the king?
No, you got three chances to win one game. Two of them are going to be home. So Denver's going to win this series. I was going to throw it at you. I thought I was going to throw the curveball. I'll make it the case for the Lakers. I'll say this. I'll ask you. Let me phrase it this way. It's going to happen in our lifetime. Nobody's ever come back from down 3-0 in the NBA. Never thought it might happen. We thought, hey, it would ever happen in baseball. Saw the Red Sox do it. And who was it? Somebody else in, I think, the bubble series forced a game 7.
Yeah.
We've seen teams force a game 7. Will one ever beat a 16? It might not ever happen. Then one year, you know, Virginia loses to UMBC, and then it happens again with Purdue. So NBA is still the one where we have to check off. It's happened in hockey. It's happened in baseball. It's going to happen in the NBA. It almost happened last year with the Heat and the Celtics. And I don't think this is the team. Denver's really good. They've quietly not shot the three really well. They're like 25% from three in the series. And if you're making the case for the Lakers, you're not happy it's 3-1. My goodness, this series should be 2-2. Murray hits the buzzer beater. We blow a 20-point lead. We should be 2-2 going back to Denver. Best of three here. So all it takes, it's the same thing the Red Sox talked about when they came back against the Yankees, isn't it? I don't think Denver's going to win the series. I think they probably win game 5, probably win it convincingly. But we're just, we're trying to fill 3 hours here. We're just talking.
It's just basketball.
If you ever win game 5, if you're the Lakers, now you're home for game 6. Now all the pressure, you start to shift that pressure. It's like, oh, man, are we really going to be the first team to do this? It has a way of unraveling. And, hey, these teams, they want to finish their opponent as soon as possible because one more game, somebody get hurt. Murray could tweak an ankle. Jokic, who never seems to get hurt. What? Jokic turns an ankle. All of a sudden, history is not so out of touch. So again, this is we're just trying to do a show here, but I would assume Denver wins and wins comfortably. But crazy things happen. It's now a 3-game win streak, and at some point in our lives, it's probably going to happen where somebody comes from 3-0 down. How did I do to make a case?
When you go historical, Will, it's just the IQ level goes way up for you. I love it. Because it's true. Like you're citing, and again, we talk about trends and all the time in the network. And, history one day will be broken. But there's a reason why it's never happened, right?
Yes.
It's a reason why it's still to date has not happened. Denver's minus 5,000 to win this series. Lakers are plus 1,800. That's not enough.
I think it was 30-1 coming in tonight.
Right.
I will say this. I remember when the Yankees beat the Red Sox go up 3-0. They won, I think, 19-8 in Fenway. I remember listening to talk radio that night, and it was –
Eerie.
I had a Boston feed. It was, we'll never beat these guys. They're losers. They got to break up the team where it's never going to happen. I don't know why I root for this team. And then they're losing in the ninth inning the next night. They get the steal. They tie it, win the extra innings, come back again the next night. And the next thing you know, hey, they're winning game 7 and winning the World Series. So, again, not going to happen in this case, but you wouldn't have thought when the Red Sox were down 3-0 the way that game ended.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll tell you this. There's a couple things. As you know me well enough by now, I'm a diehard Met fan. I hate the Yankees. Hate them. They're a big brother. They put us in headlocks, give us noogies. That's what they've done for generations, right? Why would I like the Yankees? I had the Yankees in that series against the Sox. And the other one was 2001 after 9/11 was terrible. And then we bring back baseball, and the Yankees are playing the Diamondbacks in the series. I'm like, I can't bet against the Yankees. Diamondbacks win that series, right? That's what I remember about those two things. But you're talking about, we still talk about what we're talking about now because it was the Red Sox and because it was the Yankees. This script for LeBron, and I know, like, I get it. They're going to lose to Denver. This is not going to happen. We're not saying go play the Lakers at 18-1 to win the series. No. But my God, if there is a guy out there that would love to win and do this, and then you know what he'd say? I'm better than Michael. That's all he cares about now. Forget about winning the I did something Mike's never done. That would be the final feather in the cap of LeBron James, whether if they won another game in the rest of the playoffs. It'd be to do this. It's exactly what you're talking about. To do history. To do something Michael, because Michael never had to do that, come back from 0-3. Right? But we'll leave that part out. But like, this would be something that LeBron stands. They could go, see, greatest ever against the reigning defendings, and they won two of the last three in Denver. Look, they should have won game two.
Yeah.
20-point lead in the second half. Forget about the officials. You blew that, Lakers. But you had that game. And I know LeBron missed the three down the stretch, but he was really good. Like, as much as I kid and joke about what LeBron says, because he makes it easy for people like me.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, right? He just puts it out there and is like,
he's close to 40 years old, but I mean, which is just, it's insane.
It's insane. If you watch the guy, like, that's the one part of this equation. And I'm not going to bet this. I'm not taking the long shot on the Lakers.
We have a line for game 5 I could pull it up here.
Let's see if we got one yet, because that game, 119-108, just went fine.
Oh, probably around 7. It's been mostly 7 to Denver. I don't see why we'd see anything different.
I would think the Lakers would take money. Yeah. I bet you this number goes down. Right? I bet you this closes 7, 6.5 somewhere. I could see, again, because they covered game 2 at least for that. They were in game 1, right, until the fourth quarter was ugly.
They had a double-digit lead the first three games. I think they got up. Because I was watching the draft at the first score, so I was like 8-0 Lakers. I was, here we go again. So,
yes.
And we're looking at 7.5 for game 5 here. And for a postseason with no drama, we both agree Denver probably wins game 5, probably wins it comfortably. You want a little drama. The Lakers winning game 5 and getting on a plane for L.A. for game 6. Then you get a little drama. We're one win away for at least some drama here.
Oof. Jokic seems like, without knowing anything about him off the court, we see his brothers fighting in the stands. He seems like the type of guy, because of what we can kind of see, like, they hear this stuff too. Like, and he seems like a punch backer, which I like. Like I don't think he's going to be like, bow down to the king. And, you know, like to me, I bet you he's pissed about tonight. I bet you they wanted to sweep them away and keep that winning streak going. Because at some point, Nikola does not seem wired like LeBron is about his legacy. But at some point, we're going to start talking about Jokic's legacy if they win back-to-back.
Great point.
Right?
And that's not a great team around him. It's a good team. Murray's a good number two. He's not a great number two. Borderline all-star. He's never made an all-star team. Gordon's a good role player. But this is not like an all-time great team. And the bench is a little shakier than it's been. I think they really missed the Bruce Brown piece. So
mm-hmm.
they're vulnerable. It's a little like the Chiefs with Mahomes, where it's, they're good. They're not great, but they have Mahomes. They have Jokic. We're at the end of a close game. Boy, the ball's in Jokic's hands. He's either getting a good shot or making a good pass. It's just, you don't want any part of Jokic in a close game. There's that sort of factor. But this is not like an all-time great team. I would still pick them to win. I would still pick them to come out of the West, beat the Celtics. But this is not just an overpowering, like, dominant team. You just read the names on the roster. Porter, talented player. He's been good in the series, but he's a little hot and cold. Murray's a good number two, not a great number two. It's a really good team. And like I said, they might win another title. That would be my bet. But I wouldn't be like, oh my God, how did this team lose? It's not that level of a dominant team where if they lost, you'd just be shocked. It'd be shocked to the Lakers, but I just mean going forward. If they lost in, if Dallas picked them off, if Boston picked them off, you wouldn't be shocked.
Well, here's what is shocking to me, is that the Nuggets, you can still get them to win the NBA title right now, plus 230. The Celtics are plus $1.25. Now, I get it, the conferences, right?
The path. It's all the path.
But you and I still believe, like, is OKC, is Minnesota? And they go great. OKC's beaten the Zionless, you know, Hornets.
Right.
That's not that impressive.
By the way, the Barkley rant on the Pelicans today.
Oh, my God.
Off announcing, tweeted, I retweeted. It's one of the great rants.
They're going to Galveston, right? Not Cancun? Going to Galveston, Texas.
Dirty water.
Dirty water, Galveston. Because they quit. That's what he said about New Orleans.
No Cancun. We're not even buying your plane tickets. You go. I don't want to try.
You're going to Galveston.
Because you can't do it, but it's just so good.
It's a fantastic line. But, like, that's the thing. Like, those young teams are going to push Denver, whichever one it is. We'll figure out what those matchups are going to look like in the next round. But do you buy that OKC and or Minnesota can beat Denver?
Minnesota could, probably wouldn't. OKC, same thing. They could push them, probably not beat them.
That's why, don't you think there's value at +230? And then if they could play, if it's the Celtics and Nuggets can be favored.
Celtics will have home court. That'll be very close. That'll be very fast. They played late in March late in the regular season. Boston was like a 1-point favorite in Denver. I'm not sure what that line would be. Probably -115 either way, something like that maybe.
And I don't know, +230 still seems attractive potentially out there in the marketplace. When we get back, let's give out some bad boo NFL draft. Who did poorly? Will and I will tell you next here on Sunday Bet Prep.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check it out. VSiN.com. Each and every day to get you ready for your betting day. We got best bets, betting splits. How about exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides? It's all there for you each and every day. So if you haven't done so already, check it out now at VSiN.com. Back alongside Will Hill, Dave Ross here. We continue Sunday Bet Prep. Earlier in the program, if you missed it, shame on you. We'll forgive you. We gave out a couple grades of teams that we thought did really well. And I asked you, I believe I asked you this last week too, if you thought any team's numbers, or at least your evaluation of said teams, would change, whether the numbers change or not, based on the draft. And let me start there. Have you seen anything over the course of the last 3 days you went, you know what? I got to reevaluate X team because of what's happened. Free agency is one thing, right? Then you get to the draft and maybe wins totals. I will tell you this. I was not high on the Bears, 8.5, right? Somewhere in that vicinity. And I thought, like 265 to win the division. I was like, it's way too short. Maybe I got caught up in the hype a little bit over the Caleb and Rome Odunze picks at 1-9. But I did reevaluate that division a little bit. You know I'm big on the Vikings as a surprise team there. Is there any team that either you went up or down after the completion of this weekend's draft?
Yeah, Bears are one where it's interesting when you're talking about, you know, bets you might make with this stuff and reacting to the draft. It almost doesn't matter what our opinion it does if you're betting futures and stuff. But just, I think it's important to read the room and what are the narratives. People love the Eagles draft. Well, if I'm going to bet the Eagles, I better bet them sooner rather than later if I'm going to bet them at all. Same thing with the Bears, where that 8.5, I think the overs started to move on the juice. You better get that. If you're going to bet it, like, if you're not going to bet it, who cares? But if you're going to bet it, better get it before it gets 9, and knowing which way these numbers are going to move. So those are a couple ones that popped out to me. People seem to love the Philly draft, so keep an eye on that number. Division odds, win total. Again, you're not going to move a Super Bowl number too much over, you know, a couple of rookie cornerbacks, but people do seem to be high on the Philly draft. Again, and look, Howie Roseman, he's popular among the media, everything he does. Oh, Howie made this trade. He made this pick. People seem to think he's a good GM, which, look, he's put a pretty good product on the field, so no reason to disagree with that. To the negative, though, I think a couple of unders I'm going to be looking to fire on, and this can get to our bad draft grades. Denver's really going to go in that division with Bo Nix as their quarterback. I joked with Matt Humans, with all the college football realignment, I wonder if Denver's asking for a little division realignment. Put us somewhere else. So you got Mahomes twice a year, Herbert twice a year. If you're in Denver, okay, Sean Payton liked the workout. He can work with him. This is another Drew Brees. We'll see. That playing that win total under 2, and pull it up here. My guess is it's like 6.5.
I'll get it for you right now.
Yeah, that to me is an under. And the same thing with the Raiders. So the Raiders, look, you needed a quarterback coming in the draft. And here we are a few days later, you didn't get one, and you're just going to run about, okay, Gardner Minshew in that division. And not just that division, that conference with Lamar Jackson, Allen, Rodgers, Herbert. You go down the line, there's just good quarterback after Stroud. it's going to be tough. Yeah, you get the booze out. So those are a couple that jumped out to me. If you don't have a quarterback in the AFC, I'm looking to play your under.
Okay. Denver Broncos win total. You're going to love this. 5.5. Juiced to the over. Plus money to the under. 5.5. Plus $1.10. Remember, and I think you and I know I was obviously was on it, and I'm pretty sure you were too. 4.5, I played the under in the Cardinals. Like, that turned out to be a sweat. Came down to the last game of the year, right? And I think it was the Rams kicked a long field goal. I mean, it got dicey there, but Cardinals got hot kind of late to luckily stayed under that win total.
Well, they were up 7 in field goal range with like 2 minutes to go. They missed the field goal. Seattle scored a touchdown because Seattle had just gotten eliminated. Seattle went for 2, and then Arizona missed another field goal at the buzzer. 4.5, never in doubt.
We had it all the way, baby.
All the way.
But that's what I worry about with the Broncos. Okay, 5.5, I'm with you. Like, they feel like a team that I would fade early. But I one objection, Your Honor, would be your slander of one Sean Payton. Now, look, I'm with you. I don't see it in Bo Nix, but you and I aren't there. We're not evaluating. We're not, you know. If Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer, if he's still that guy, and he sees, because, look, this was not a secret. We knew that they were interested in Bo Nix. I'm still surprised they took him where they took him. I am. And maybe that's because the Penix move at 8, which we'll get to. But maybe that forced the hand. Maybe, you know, if Penix doesn't go and Bo Nix doesn't go, maybe they do become day 2 guys or they trade back in late first round, right? But once it went, it was like, oh, man, now I got to get him, even though it's early. I'm with you. The quarterback room is Jared Stidham, Bo Nix, and Zach Wilson. And I'm supposed to bet over 5.5? Now, look. The only reason why I'm hesitant to bet the under is respect for Sean Payton. Is that fair?
Good home field, too. Good home field crowd. You get 2 games against the Raiders, you might not be good. I was hoping 6.5 out of respect for Payton. 5.5, it feels like the right number. Mm. It'd still be under nothing. I wouldn't bet over. I don't know what 5.5, though. It'd still be under nothing. I might still bet the under. It's low, but like if Nick's, I mean, I think Todd Mache was on, you know, a couple podcasts, and he said, look, I talked to dozen-plus talent evaluators, executive scouts, you name it. Not one of them had a first-round grade on Bo Nix. Now you're going to throw him in the mix here, throw him right in the fire. And I would think he would start day 1 at the AFC, the AFC West. I don't know. And how about this narrative that's come out now? Well, everyone knows Sean Payton loved Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's so easy to say now. And maybe it's true, but I don't know. If Patrick Mahomes was a bust, would be hearing all about how much Sean Payton loved him. That seems like a little bit of revisionist history. If you loved him so much, you know what? You could have traded up and drafted him. You didn't.
Well, he says he was walking to the podium with the number, right? I mean, but that. Oh, yeah. And look, these guys got egos. I get it. You know, so Sean Payton, it's just, boy, to go back, keep bringing that up. He brings it up. Oh, it's like right. We talk about LeBron giving you fodder. Like, Sean Payton, man, you do this stuff too.
In the media, he's got a good relationship. He's got buddies in the media, clearly. And the media likes to get scoops, so they carry the water and they keep repeating it. Look, if you liked him so much, you could have drafted him. I don't know if you ever saw the 30 for 30 on the 83 draft with all the great quarterbacks. Everyone's, I wanted Marino. I really wanted Marino, but this, that, and the other. I got overruled. You know, there was medicals. There was my owner didn't want him. I wanted him. I loved him. It's tough with these guys.
Okay, so if we're down on the Broncos draft, I'm with you, by the way, kidding. But I do respect Sean Payton. That's what gives me pause at the 5.5 number. I don't think either one of us are overly blown away by the Raiders draft and what they've done in free agency getting Gardner Minshew. And you still have Aiden O'Connell. There's your quarterback room. Mm. Their total, you ready for this? 6.5. Juice to the over. Like, to me, if you made me bet one of these two,
I want the extra win with the Raiders under.
Play the under. I'd play the under Raiders 6.5. Sean behind the glass. Sorry, Raider fans. Like I want to root for the Raiders. I'm out here in Vegas. I want to root for my own new hometown team. I do, but that seems ridiculous to me. In the division that we're talking about,
should have the same number. I feel like they should have the same number.
How is that team going 7-10 with Brock Bowers playing tight end? Who's getting them the football?
If it turns into a tight end contest, our number's in some trouble with the under. But otherwise, yeah, that under looks like a good bet. I'll have to go through the schedules and see if there's any difference. But they're both same division. I don't know. Hmm. I don't know how 1 6.5, 1 5.5. Especially, I mean, say what we can joke about Payton. They do have the better coach, the more pedigreed coach in Payton. They've got a good. That's a really good home field in Denver, especially early in the season with the altitude. Vegas. I mean, you know this. It's a nomad sort of crowd where people visiting fans invade. Hey, the Steelers are playing. Pittsburgh fans, that's our one trip a year. We go to Vegas and we invade that stadium where you don't have that home field advantage.
It's a SoFi feel. right? Every time people go out there and play the Rams or the Chargers, I'll go to L.A. for the weekend. And yes, those fan bases, that's the same thing we're getting in Vegas. Yes, they got a lot of fans here of the Raiders, but it is, you're right on. That's spot on, man. You're not getting a huge home field advantage when the Raiders are playing those games. So I kind of like that under 6.5. And look, Antonio Pierce, I covered him when he played for the Redskins back in the day. I loved talking to Antonio back in the day. Covered him at the Super Bowl when he was with the Giants out in Arizona when they beat the Patriots and Tom Brady and Randy Moss. And like Antonio Pierce was my go-to guy all week leading up.
He's a good quote. He's a good quote.
Great quote. High energy. Gets these guys to believe. I almost felt like, yes, I got him the job and congratulations, but now it's the real. Yeah. Like, it was a really great story, and the guys rallied around him, but I just don't know that they're any good. And at some point, I just wonder how much you can run your head through a wall and get the guys to follow if you just don't have the talent in a division that you talked about outside of Denver. Chargers are going to be a lot. I think the Chargers are going to be marketably better because of Jim Harbaugh this year. And we know what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid already are.
Yeah, and he got a nice little bump. I mean, let's face it. McDaniels, nobody really had a good word to say about McDaniels, the players, the other coaches. Nobody liked him. And then Pierce takes over and everyone, you know, it was a good contrast. Who knows, though? I mean, they recover two fumbles against the Chiefs on Christmas.
Oh, my.
Recovering both for touchdowns. Is a thing like that sustainable? I know they played well, and it really painted them into a corner, but going forward, like you said, now it gets real.
All right, when we come back, we're gonna give out one more grade, and it's not going to be good. But I do also want to keep going this futures market a little bit after the draft, now that it's completed, because there's a couple others out here. I want to get your opinions on them, Will, that I think they're playable. Like, I think we've kind of workshopped that, yes, we don't think Denver had a good draft at all compared to the others, right? We'll find out what their quarterback room looks like. Under 5.5, though, you and I are not jumping to the window, though, to bet the under. The Raiders might be the better play in that division if you're looking for an under. Under 6.5 at plus money instead of under 5.5 for the Broncos. That's why we do what we do. When we come back, let's give out those final grades down in the ATL. You might not want to listen. That's next here on Sunday Bet Prep.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in that's already concluded, which was actually exciting, all the way through the finals, which so far not so good. DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code VSiN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's with the code VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Will Hill, Dave Ross here as we continue breaking down the NFL draft a little bit. Again, it does, looking at futures markets, win totals for certain teams, it is the time now where I think fan bases that want to get involved because they're excited. Like, look what my team just got. Man, they're going to win the division. They're going to win 9 games. And the bookmakers say they're only going to win 7. This is the time you start to do that. And numbers will shift as we get into training camps and rookie camps and certainly into the heart of the summer. One team I do want to bring to your attention, though, before we get to our final bad grade of the night, is the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team I gave a solid B grade to. And by the way, people, we're not Mel Kiper and McShay up here and go, well, I'll tell you why this guy's a plug and play. I'm just going over what they've done in the entire offseason and then concluded with the draft today. We went over this now, number one. I think they did a really good job with the offensive line. To me, the biggest weakness for the Steelers, you can argue, is the quarterback room, but to me, it's an extension of that offensive line. And I thought it was very subpar last year. I think they've done a lot to shore that up. Now, these kids, you got to play the kids right away too. And we know how good that division is overall, right? But it was a bet on the defense and the head coach, and their win total is 8.5. And we know the rhetoric, right? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Whatever we think about Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, maybe the market doesn't feel very much because you got pennies on the dollar to get Russ, and you basically gave away a late-round pick to go get Justin Fields, right? So maybe people didn't think very highly of those guys. I still think it's an upgrade over what they had last year. To me, that's a play-on team that I already thought pretty highly of, and then culminating with the draft and the track record of one Mike Tomlin. I mean, Will, he did it with 3 quarterbacks last year, and they went to people forget they went to the playoffs. That was a playoff team somehow last year. What am I missing? Why is that sitting at 8.5?
Yeah, I would probably play over if I had to pick either one. Haven't dug too much into their schedule. I will say, though, I mean, you get a little tired of this if you're just the Pittsburgh love where, okay, they sneak into the playoffs, they beat a bunch of backup quarterbacks like the final 2 weeks. Let's be honest, they're kind of a fake playoff team. If there were still only 6 teams in each conference, they would have gone a long time without the playoffs because these last couple of playoff bursts, remember, they snuck in a couple years ago, got their heads beaten by the Chiefs. Same thing last year against the Bills where, I mean, they haven't won a playoff game, I think, since Obama was in office. It's been a long time, so they get a lot of credit. Hey, they win every year. Do they? What do they actually win? That being said, you have Wilson and Fields, so it's sort of a free roll. If one of them's not good, the other one can step in, which I like, which, hey, you got 2 cracks at it. So they'll probably have another little 9-8 season where they get absolutely buried in the first round of the playoffs. So congratulations to them.
-20 if you want to bet the over 8.5. That's probably something I will be invested in if that number doesn't get out of hand, because I do think this is at least a 9-8, 10-7 team. I think the division is going to be very muddled. I think much more so than people might see right now. And again, I was on the Ravens this time last year when everybody was on the Bengals, and you can understand why. And again, my whole handicap was, can Lamar Jackson play 17 games? And last year he did, and that's why he won the MVP for the second time. They won the division. So these are the type of things you have to think about. But I thought you just nailed it on the head with the quarterback room. If one can't go, they'll go to the other one, man. Mike Tomlin does that. To his credit, Mitchell Trubisky, you're the guy. Nope, you're not the guy. Kenny Pickett, you're the guy. Nope, you're not the guy. Mason Rudolph, you're the guy. Now, he'll keep searching until he gets it right. Some of these coaches, man, they don't want to hurt the feelings of guys, and they kind of ride him out there. Oh, I can't bench because then if I bench, you can't. No, dude. You're a player like everybody else. I think Tomlin, so one thing I respect about him is he will change it. I know he had Roethlisberger forever, so he didn't have to change it up a whole lot. But since the post-Ben era, where they've still been competitive, I think he's willing to make some changes on the fly. Now,
Who do you want for your bet, though? Who do you prefer? Because I think Wilson's washed, and I do think Wilson's I think that's a tired act where, you know, he's always saying the right thing. It's just that there's a diva aspect with him where he still thinks he's kind of a star, and he's obviously not. But I think, like I said, if I had to take it, I'd probably go over. But the fact that it's Wilson scares me. Now, maybe Fields upside is the better way to go. Again, the league told you what they thought about Fields. I mean, you couldn't even get a 5th-round pick for Fields. So the quarterback aspect, again, you get 2 of them, you get 2 shots at it. I don't really want any part of Wilson, though.
That is fascinating to me because again, from my bet, which I've already made, the long shot to win the division, I want that to be Russ. This is my angle on this. It's the Baker Mayfield last year angle. It's the Sam Darnold and Minnesota angle this year. These guys are starting quarterbacks in the league. And Russ knows this is it, baby. This is truly it.
But wasn't last year the year where he lost weight and he's in the best shape ever and he's got Sean Payton and we're finally going to see? I feel like we're like on year 4 of like, all right, this is the last, like, I don't know. It's you're kind of running out of last year's for Wilson.
But you can't kick the can any further down the line, right? This is it. When you get him pennies on the dollar like the Steelers did, and they're not paying for it. The Denver's still paying the Brinks truck of the salary, right? Steelers are like, dude, we got nothing to lose here. So if you suck, that ain't us. You'll be sitting on the bench, and we'll go to Justin Fields, and we'll see if he get. And then if we don't, and it really goes bad, they'll be in the draft next year for their quarterback. Like, they really took, as you said, perfect expression, free roll. They're free rolling on two guys with, I think, a pretty good other 52 or 51. We got to figure out about those two to make the 53. One of those two has got to. Mason Rudolph took them to the playoffs last year. Russell Wilson, there's your bar. It's low. Got to be better than that. Justin Fields, there's your bar. It's not that high. I mean, if you guys can just be a plus there, you might be fighting for the division title. Because that's how good I think the defense is going to be. And I do think the skill players around them and the running game, which will be much improved with this offensive line this year, they don't have to do that much. So, Russ, don't be a diva, dude. Just don't. Just figure out a way to be what Baker did. I give a lot of credit to Baker Mayfield, a guy I banged on the drum on for a number of years. He put his ego aside and played football last year. And the guys respected him in that locker room, and they responded to it. That's what Russell Wilson's challenge is going to be. Get the other guys in that locker room to respond to him. The team. Yeah,
Baker was always a gamer, though. Baker played through injuries. I mean, he was never very good. And, you do commercials, you have a lot to say. But Baker was always kind of, you get the feel, he was always kind of one of the guys. I don't know that you get the feel that Wilson's one of the guys. You're telling Wilson to not be a diva. That's, I don't know. It's like telling a tiger to not be striped or whatever tigers have. I don't know.
I mean, when you're married to Ciara, I know she's a big star, apparently. Yes. I guess that's how you become a diva. I mean, I guess that's what. Hey, look, if I was married to Ciara, I'd be a diva too. I'd be like, I'd probably do the show with sunglasses. The team that we gave the worst grade to, Will Hill, the floor is yours. Who failed this NFL draft?
I don't even want to talk about the Falcons. I'm being serious. It's so bad. I don't even want to criticize it because it's so easy to just pile on and criticize them. It's no fun to criticize a team when everybody's criticizing. It's just, you're just copying what everybody else says. But it's just a completely ridiculous pick to give Cousins all that money and then to just double down with a quarterback who's about to be 24, who also had injury history. I know you say, hey, we got the position covered. And if you're making the case for the Falcons, hey, if Cousins is bad, we got a backup. If Cousins isn't healthy, we got a good backup. And if neither of those happens, if Cousins is healthy and he's good, well, then we have no problem. We're happy. We got a good young quarterback. I guess he could sell me that. But eighth, you pick this kid eighth? I don't know. It's not like you were in the 20s and somebody just fell in your lap. You said, we can't pass on him. He's too good. I can't believe he's here. You reach for him on top of everything. If they picked him in the second round or eighth overall, you say, wow, I can't believe they did that, but I get it. And that's in the second round. First round, eighth overall, when they need a pass rusher, when Cousins comes in. And that's the other thing, too. Not just the value of the picks, value of the contract, the money you give out, your draft assets, all that. There's a human element, too. How does Cousins feel? I mean, we know Cousins, he can be I don't know. It's not like he commands a locker room. He's probably, I don't know if he's a sensitive guy. You actually know him, I think, pretty well.
Yep.
I mean, anybody would be annoyed by that. Wait a second. I came here to be kind of be your guy. You believe in me. You gave me all this money. Let's go. Let's do this. And you're spending the eighth pick not to get me a pass rusher, a receiver, a lineman. You're going to spend it on my replacement. What's going on? Why did I come here?
Well, you nailed it. Look, I'm with you. I gave him a D. The only reason why I didn't give him an F is because everybody gave him an F, and I didn't want to give him an F. But probably he's an F. And look, I love Cousins. You know, covering him in D.C., let me just put this in context. Everybody remembers Robert Griffin III was Rookie of the Year, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks, sensational year. When he got hurt, he couldn't play in a game at Cleveland, okay? Kirk Cousins started that game in Cleveland and set the then Redskins rookie passing yards record over 350, I think it was, in a win at Cleveland. You know who came out to the podium? Robert Griffin III to say, this is my football team. Whew. Guys look at Kirk, and they did then, and they go, that guy commands the locker room. Now, this could be in reversal now. This could be Michael Penix, and all the guys are looking at Penix. Kirk is very well-liked and has been pretty well-liked in all the locker rooms he's been. That's why he was in Minnesota for as long as he was and why the Shanahans love him so much. That's a real problem. You brought it up because now – sometimes when you got two quarterbacks, you got none, and Kirk isn't getting any younger. It's very, very interesting, to say the least. Come on back. Hour number three, straight ahead here on VSiN.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number four best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.